Let's just look to God in prayer. Excuse me. Father, we ask for your presence to continue to flow through the airwaves, continue to flow into our hearts, O God. Let your voice keep ringing in our spirits, in our ears, in our mind, O God. And this morning, O God, we come to you. And just like the apostle, we say, Lord, who can we go to? Because you have the words of eternal life. So, Lord, I pray that you will come and speak through me, O God. And I pray that, that Lord, everything that you have for us would come to us this day, and that we would be able to embrace it and to receive it. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because you are in the business of changing people. So we ask today for change and transformation, that we may be more like you, that we may fulfill your purpose and our destiny, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this morning I want to talk about a topic that I'm hoping would be you can relate to and would be of interest to you. You know, and I'm calling it Mind the Menu. Now, I know some ears perk up when we say menu. Yes, it is about food, right? We live in a day and age where it's a big deal. Diet and exercise and, you know, it plays a big part in every conversation, in our decisions and what we think about, buy, how we do our life. A lot of it is centered around that. And it is good in a way, because there was a season or a time frame maybe in the past years that people didn't pay too much attention about what they ate or, you know, or staying fit physically. But in the society that we live in now, there's not just an interest, but there's an overemphasis on how people, first of all, how they look physically. Secondly, I think there's also a genuine interest in eating healthy and living healthy and you know, and exercise and diet and all of that. So we know that the food that we eat, you know, they say that you are what you eat, right? We know that there's food that we can eat that's really detrimental to our health. We also know there are food, categories of food that are good for us, that have good nutrients and that actually help us to build our muscles and help us to, you know, give us energy and give us all the essential nutrients and all of that. Now, the same is true for spiritual life, right? And that's where I want us to go today. And that's why I call this Mind Your Menu. Or maybe fit for life. And I know you can relate to that, all right? How do we stay fit spiritually? How do we, I know in the natural, it's what we eat, the vitamins that we take. It's about, you know, exercise. It's, I know most of us, you know, exercise or go to the gym and all of that. There's an attempt towards all of that. But in the same way, and you know how we are taught to avoid certain foods that are bad for us. We are taught that, you know, we need to avoid too much of, you know, maybe carbs and maybe too much sugar and, you know, avoid too much gluten or whatever it is that, you know, and we have allergies and all of that. But overall, there is an understanding of food categories that are bad for us and food stuff that are good for us, that build us, right? In the same way, spiritually, there are food categories that are good for us, and there are food that we can partake of spiritually that are detrimental to our health. Just like how bad food can not only make us sick, but in many cases cause people to die, right? In the same way, there are spiritually, there are things that we look at in the scripture, things that will not only cause us to be weak and you know, wither up, but possibly even cause spiritual death, cause, you know, shipwreck of our faith. So today, I want to speak about that. Mind your menu. Mind what you're eating. Mind what goes into you, right? So let me start with the category of food that is detrimental to us, food that's bad for us spiritually. So we're talking about the spiritual, okay, spiritual menu. So mind your menu. So you know how we go to a restaurant and we count the calories before you decide what you're going to eat, or maybe sometimes we just kind of indulge in it. However, but I want us spiritually to be people who can mind our menu, mind what we eat, mind what goes into us, and be intentional about avoiding the bad food and eating the good food. So let me start off. I just group them into three. Three food category, food that is bad for us spiritually, and then we'll go into three that are really good for us, that will build us, okay? So three worst food for you spiritually. Now, Psalm 106, verse 15, talks about how God, it says, he gave them what they asked for, but sent leanness upon their souls. Okay? So the Bible talks about leanness of the soul. And if you look at the context of this psalm, Psalm 105, verse 15, it's referring to the Old Testament story. And you'll find it in Exodus and in Numbers, specifically Numbers 11, where the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, they came out of Egypt and they were going through the wilderness, and it was a hard journey, but God was meeting all their needs. You know, when they were thirsty, he gave them water, and they were hungry, of course, he gave them manna from heaven, you know, and they would gather manna every day and eat. It was spiritual, you know, daily provision of, you know, something that they didn't work for. God just rained it down. But then, slowly, the people started missing meat. They wanted flesh to eat. And so they started grumbling. And they were craving for what they had back in Egypt. And it was one step worse than just desiring to eat this flesh. They started complaining, they started grumbling, and you know, if you even look at Psalm 78, and you know, if you read the whole psalm, but from 17 to 31, you'll see that whole story of this eating meat and how they craved after it, they lusted after what they had left behind in Egypt, specifically for meat. And then, in fact, in Psalm 78, they actually talk about, they say, oh, well, we know that God can he provided us food, he provided us water out of the rock, but can he provide us meat? Can he give us flesh to eat in the wilderness? Can he spread a table in the wilderness? That was specifically what they said. And we know, we're not going to go into that story, but, you know, that offended God, you know, because it came out of unbelief. It came because they forgot what God had done. They forgot that God was their provider. He was able to provide whatever they need. Now when they felt the need for something, right, they started grumbling and they started moving in unbelief. And in that context, Psalm 106 verse 15 talks about God gave them what they asked for, but sent leanness upon their soul. And so I just want to say the first food that is bad for us is murmuring and grumbling in unbelief. That's actually a spiritual food, because when they indulged in that, God gave them what they wanted, but he sent leanness on their soul. What does that mean? They were out of God's will. They were asking God for something that was not in God's will at that time. Maybe God would have provided it for them later. But right now, God's will was that they eat manna and live and move with him. But they were not satisfied with where they were at the moment. Meaning they were not satisfied with the will of God. What they wanted was something else. You know, does that ring a bell to you? Those of us who, you know, always wanting something more, something else. We are not satisfied where God has placed us. We forget that God had led us all this way. God has done all those miracles. Now he's going to do it again. We forget that. Then we start grumbling. We start craving. And we start asking and pestering him and saying, I want this, I want this. We forget that we have all that we want, but we go, you know, all that we need, but we go into what we want, and our wants and our desires kind of lead our hearts astray, and we forget that, you know, we need to stay in God's will. We need to be grateful. We need to be, you know, faithful. We need to thank God and remember His goodness. So in that context, when you chase after something that's not in God's will for you or out of God's timing for you, you chase after that, sometimes God will say, okay, you can have it. But then along with it comes leanness of our soul. So can I encourage you today that just like how it happened for the people in the Old Testament, we don't want it. These things were written for us to read and to avoid, to take as a warning for us. That's what, you know, the New Testament says, that these things were written for us as a warning that we may not fall in the same way, right? And so we don't want leanness on our soul. Now you understand these people, they ate and, you know, became fat in the body and lean in their soul, right? Sometimes we get what we want and miss out on what we need. And, you know, it always happens that sometimes we become physically full and then spiritually empty. So watch out that leanness of the soul doesn't come through unbelief and grumbling and murmuring, mainly by craving for something and demanding for something that is not in God's will or God's timing for us. See? And so if we eat or partake of that, it'll bring leanness to our soul. We don't want that. Number two, you know, the food that brings, destroys our body spiritually is participating in wicked deeds with the unrighteous. Now, Psalm 141, verse 4, let me read it to you. The psalmist is saying, do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil, so that I take part in wicked deeds with those who are evildoers. And watch this, he says, do not let me eat of their delicacies. So the psalmist here was praying in his prayer. He was praying and telling God, you know, let me not, you know, do the wicked deeds along with the evildoers. Let my heart not be drawn. Let me not get tempted in that direction. Let me not go in the direction that the wicked are, you know, the kind of things that they do. Let me not go. Please keep my heart from being drawn in that direction. And his main concern was, I do not want to eat of their delicacies. So what the wicked were doing, you know, things that are contrary to God's word and God's will, and, you know, those were the things that the psalmist calls it the delicacies of the wicked. The wicked, the unrighteous acts are called the delicacies of the wicked. You know why it's called delicacies? Because it tastes good. It's delicacy, right? It tastes good. But it's bad because everything that God has said no to, every wicked, unrighteous deed, it may feel good while you're involved in that. It may give you temporary pleasure. It may give you momentary satisfaction, but it's bad. It's a delicacy that lasts for a little bit, and then you bear the fruit of it, the consequences of it. There's always consequence for, you know, unrighteous living. And the psalmist was so conscious of that. He says, God, let me not eat of the delicacies that the wicked have to offer. So I just want to say to you, church, that, you know, we'd rather starve, right, than nibble in the delicacies that the devil has to offer, in the platter that the wicked have to offer. Because we can learn to say no to it, because it is not good for us. It's just like, you know, if you're on a diet and then someone brings you this bowl of ice cream that's just seemingly attractive, and you know it's tasty for your tongue, but you know the moment you swallow it, it goes down, and those calories, they ruin everything that you worked for in the last whatever, however many days, right? And sometimes even poison can taste good, but just because it tastes good, it's not going to do good for your body. And in the same way, spiritually, this number two, food that's bad for you, is eating of the delicacies of the wicked. So, and God is able to teach us how to say no to the enemy, teach us how to resist temptation, teach us how to train ourselves spiritually to be disciplined enough to choose, you know, and separate right from the wrong. God is able. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, it says, The world and its desires will pass away, but the one who does the will of the Lord will live forever. So there is something about, you know, doing the right thing, doing the will of God. The first thing we saw was that leanness of the soul comes when you don't do the will of God, when you demand some things out of the will of God and, you know, want things and you're not focused on the present, how God has given all that we need, right? The second thing is when we get carried away and tempted to partake of the delicacies of the wicked. And the third thing, the food that is detrimental to our spiritual health, is words of gossip. Now, why do I say that? Listen, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 8. Everybody knows this, right? It says, words of gossip are like choice morsels that go down into the inward parts of a man. Now think about it. Gossip is something that's, you know, like just people talking and about others behind their back and just, you know, spreading stories, tattletaling, you know, telltale and all of that. Spreading rumors, gossip. But the Bible takes it very seriously. It says gossip, and is warning us, saying gossip is like a choice morsel. I want you to pause there and think about it. What's a choice morsel? Choice food. You know, look at it in other versions. It's a delicate food. It's, you know, pleasurable to taste, right? So there is perhaps a kind of a interesting factor about when people are talking. But it's a wicked thing in the eyes of the Lord. Because, you know, we see that throughout the scriptures, you know, God says, watch your tongue, watch your mouth. But more so when we are talking about another person, you know, who is a child of God. Another person, you know, and even if they are not Christians, they are precious to God. They are God's children, you know. God's eye is upon them. God loves them, and we talk about them behind their back. And it's very offensive to God. And what happens is, it's not just that it offends God and it's you're sinning against your brother or your sister, but the fact is that it ruins you. See, if you read it in other versions, you'll see that people do this out of the woundedness of their own heart or soul. Now, we are not going to look into all of that, the reasons why. But here's the thing. We know that gossip, when we involve in gossip, the Bible says that it goes down to our inward parts and it pollutes us. It poisons us, not the person. See, the person that we talk about, you gossip about, is probably unawares and living their own life and, you know, minding their own business and, you know, whatever they do, whether right or wrong, is between them and God, right? And God knows how to deal with people. But this gossip where we talk about people behind the back, what it does is it's bad for our spiritual life. It goes like into our inner parts, inward parts. It leaves a mark behind. It pollutes us, if I can say, spiritually. And, you know, that is something that we want to avoid. It sends poison down into our spirits. We want to avoid that. It makes us spiritually weak and sick, and we don't want that, right? So let me recount. Three foods that are bad for us spiritually is murmuring and grumbling and wanting things that are out of the will of God, out of the timing of God, and pestering, so focused on the future, the things that we don't have, that we forget blessing God for what we have now, and we forget how good God was in the past. You know, that kind of murmuring, grumbling, and coveting things that we don't have, you know, that is what sends leanness to our soul, number one. Number two, participating in the delicacies of the wicked, being involved in what other people do, you know, being carried away with the traditions of the world that's contrary to the scripture, you know, participating in those things, that is bad for us. And then the third thing is participating in gossip, because that's like a choice morsel that goes down and it corrupts us, it pollutes us, right? So now we've dealt with food that are bad for us, you know. So like when you go to a nutritionist or a health specialist or even to the gym, they start off by saying, okay, these are the foods that you really need to avoid. So here we are avoiding these. Then they tell you, these are the things that you need to eat. These are the things that are good for you, that will build you up. This is good for your metabolism. These are the nutrients and vitamins and, you know, all of the essential things that you need for your body to build up. You know, these are the things, this is how you do. So now let's look at what is it that will build us in our spiritual life, right? Mind the menu. right? Now look for the right ones. So I want to start off by saying, again, three things, right? The Word of God. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Why? Because Jesus said, quoting from the Old Testament, what God had spoken to the people of Israel, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, right? And I'm quoting from Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. And when did Jesus say this? We all know the story. When he was being tempted by the devil, and the devil was giving him something to eat, like bread to eat. Hey, you're hungry now, eat this. And then Jesus said, oh, no, I remember the word of God. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone. Now, it's very interesting because when God said this to the children of Israel and when Jesus said this, it was actually in the context of refusing other things and remembering that we need more than just natural things for life, more than just bread or rice or whatever it is that we eat. We need more than natural things because our spiritual life is more important. And for our spiritual life, we need the bread for spiritual life is the Word of God. And so if I can stop here and say, when did you last have a good helping of the Word of God? Or have you been eating spiritual donuts and cookies? You know, when have you had solid food? Because the Bible calls the Word of God as milk for the babies, but also meat for the grown up, for the mature, that this is what helps us to grow, right? Word of God. The other thing is, remember Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 27, I believe it is, Jesus had said, don't work for the food that perishes, but, you know, but work for food that will give you eternal life, right? So there is a kind of food that brings us to eternal life, and we know it is the Word of God, right? The other thing is, I also want to mention, the Word of God comes to us, you know, in written form or, you know, through electronic devices, but also Jesus is the Word of God, and I don't want to skip that. While we read the Word and meditate on the Word, and while we feast on the Word of God, we also need to know that Jesus himself is the Word of God. So there is something about fellowshipping with Jesus, feasting on him, you know. Otherwise, and while we need the Word of God, the written Word, right, we also need fellowship with Jesus. Because, see, he is the fulfillment of the bread of the presence. Remember in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, there was, and everything was symbolic of Jesus there, but the bread of his presence, right? We want the bread of his presence. In fact, I think it's in John chapter 6. Jesus says, unless you eat my body and drink my blood. Now, we know that sounded gross for those people, a lot of people who were there at that time. But he said, unless you do this, he said, I'm the bread that came from heaven, right? That gives you eternal life. But unless you partake of me, unless you eat my body and eat my flesh and drink my blood, he says, you have no part in me. He says, if you eat of me and if you drink of me, then you will remain in me and I in him. Think about it, right? In John chapter 6, he says, if you eat of me and drink of me, then you will remain in me and I in you. Does that remind you of John chapter 15 and, you know, verse 5, 6, and 7? Jesus said, I'm the true vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, then you will bear much fruit. So all of that shows a participation. You know, how do you remain in him is a question. And John chapter 6 is very clear. I would love for you to go home and read entire John chapter 6, you know. But it's very clear where Jesus says, until you participate in me. We are not talking of transubstantiation where, you know, people think that actual body and blood of Jesus has to be eaten. We are talking about where Jesus actually, you know, broke bread, the communion, you know, that he told us to do in remembrance of his death for us, right? How he gave himself up for us. But in all that, the participation is participating in communing with the Lord. We need to remember, because I know many a times people come and say, yeah, I read the word, I read two chapters every day, and, nothing, I'm not feeling anything. But I just want to encourage you, the word has power, even if you feel like it or not, just continue, you know, even if you feel like there's no sensation coming with that, keep at it, do the right thing and keep at it, eventually it'll break open. Eventually you'll realize that all of that was being deposited in your spirit and soul. But I also want to say, don't miss out on talking to him, in fellowshipping with him, in entertaining the bread of his presence, in partaking of the bread of his presence. You know, just talk to him and commune with him and remember his death and all of that. Excuse me. Okay, number two. So one is the word of God. Excuse me, I think I'm going to ask for some water. Okay, so stay with me here. So foods that are good for our body. Word of God was one. The bread of his presence and the written word, right? Number two is doing the will of God. Now, isn't that interesting? How do you live on that? I want to take you to a scripture, John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish it. Interesting verse. This was in the context of when Jesus was talking to that Samaritan woman by the well, right? Earlier on in the chapter of John chapter 4, we see that Jesus had said he was tired and he was hungry, right? So his disciples go to town to get food for him. And it was, of course, a divine setup. You know, the Samaritan woman comes. Jesus is sitting by the well all by himself and they strike up a conversation. But when the disciples come back, right, they look at him talking and then they actually urge him to eat food. They, first of all, they were confused why he's talking to the Samaritan woman. But they ask him to eat food. Don't you? Are you not going to eat? We brought food. And then Jesus says something two verses previous. I think it's verse 32 of John chapter 4. Jesus says, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. In response to these guys who went out and got food and came for him, and they're saying, are you not going to eat? He says, well, I have food to eat that you don't know about. Think about it. He was tired. He was hungry. That was in the physical. And they brought the food. But he was engaged with the Samaritan woman doing the will of God. And therefore, when the disciples said, are you not hungry? Are you not going to eat? What are you doing here? Talking. Like, come on, it's time. You eat. He was saying, listen. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. Do the will of the Father. And to finish it. What did he mean? He said, listen, yes, my body is tired and, you know, I'm hungry, all of that. But there's a greater passion, there's a greater hunger, there's a greater desire in my heart, and that is to do the will of God and to complete it, to finish it. Right now, even though my physically, my body is tired and my stomach is feeling the hunger, but more than that, more than the physical food, what I need to do, what I'm passionate about, what I thrive on, what I live for is the will of God. And so right now, I know that talking to this woman, sharing the gospel with this Samaritan woman is the will of God. I know I'm in the will of God and I need to do this at this time. And I need to finish whatever God has sent me to do. That's what I thrive on. That's what I live for. That's what is my passion. So I want to ask you today, right? Because Jesus says, you know, my food. He didn't just say that, I have come to do the will of God, which he has said earlier. But in this context, he said, my food. Another version says, my meat. Okay, is to do the will of God. Now I want to ask you today, have you been participating in the meat of doing the will of God? Or are we so involved in eating the delicacies of the world, on feeding our flesh, feeding our natural desires, natural needs, right? And so obsessed with that and so caught up in that, that we don't think about doing the will of God. Now, it's more than doing the will of God. He said, it is my meat. That means this is how I live. This is how I survive. Can I have some? I'll leave it here. Well, think about the meat while I drink the water. So, doing the will of God. You know, I know when we talk about it, some people will say, I'm not sure what the will of God is, you know, or they'll say, but here's the thing. God always makes his will known to us, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, starts off by us communing with him, starts off by us talking and asking him, starts off by us surrendering ourselves to him and saying, God, I want to do your will. And he will reveal it to us. Let's do what we already know. Before we try to find out all these big fancy things, you know, there's a lot of things that are written in the Word of God that we have to do. And let's start with that. Walking in obedience to what has already been revealed to us is a good place to start with, knowing the will of God and doing the will of God, because the will of God is already revealed in the Word of God. And then there are other specific things that God will reveal to us as we walk in obedience, as we walk in surrender. He will continue to show us and reveal. So I just want to present that to you, that if you want to, you know, build your spiritual muscles, if you want to grow strong, if you want the right nutrients going into your system, you've flushed out the other three bad food. Now you want to read the Word of God, spend time with God, you know. And then second thing is that you want to be continuously doing the will of God in that path. That's what feeds us. See, as we do the will of God, it energizes us and it charges us. It's like a battery getting recharged, because that passion gets ignited. That, have you ever noticed how when you share the gospel with someone and, you know, then we come back so excited. Why? Even though that's the person who received the Lord, you know, but we get really excited. Why? Because that's so much in the will of God for us to share the good news with other people. I'm just giving one example. There are many other things. As we do the will of God, it ignites us. It kind of puts fuel in our spiritual life, you know. And then I want to move to the third and the most final, most important one is a good spiritual food is eating giants for dinner. Yes, you heard me right. Eating giants for dinner. Let me clarify that. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 9, you will find, entire Numbers chapter 14, you will find the story of Joshua and Caleb who were trying to, they were two of the spies among the 12 spies that went to spy out the land. Now, 10 came back and gave a bad report saying that, oh, the, you know, the promised land, I mean, Canaan looks very good, good fruit, but the people are giants there. We can't do anything. We can't go. We will not. We will be defeated. But you'll see that Joshua and Caleb said, no. Yes, it's true that there are giants in the land, but we can take the land because God has given us a promise. Now, in verse 9 of Numbers 14, I want to read that to you. Okay, this is what Caleb says to the people who were saying we can't go up. He says, only do not rebel against the Lord. He was saying, like, we can do it, guys. We can do it. Those are giants that we see, but we can do this. So he was saying, only do not rebel against the Lord, for nor fear the people of the land. For they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Another version says that, hey, only do not fear, don't rebel against the Lord by fearing against them, because God has already spoken to you, to us, that he's going to give us the land. He says, we can devour them. That's another version, right? Devour, eat them up. I like this version where it says, they are bread for us. Meaning, they may be looking like giants. They may, I mean, they were really giants. But you know, when God has spoken a word over us, God has said that we can take the land, these giants that are in the land are nothing for us. We can eat them up. Now, why do I say that eating giants for dinner is something that will strengthen you? It's something good for our spirit. It's something that's an essential food, if I can say, you know. See, years later, now we know the story. I'm going to fast forward the story because though Joshua and Caleb said, hey, we can take the land, never mind the giants, majority, you know, said, no, we can't, we are not going to do this, we can't go, and they, because of their unbelief, they lost that opportunity. So we know God was upset with them, and that whole generation could not enter the promised land simply because they did not believe God's word that they could take it, right? Even though these two guys, Joshua and Caleb, believed it. So fast forward 40 years, they wander in the wilderness. Every one of them died in the wilderness. Their children grew up, but Joshua and Caleb, 40 years later, they enter the promised land because they had believed it. Now you have to understand, Caleb was 40 years old when he went to spy the land. 40 years later, now he's 40 plus years later, now he says he's 85 years old, okay? And Joshua is dividing the land, the promised land. They drove out all the, you know, enemies and conquered the land. He's dividing the land, and Caleb comes to Joshua and says, okay, now is the time for me to get my inheritance in the land. And you know what he says? He says, I'm summarizing it and then I'll read you the scripture. He comes and tells Joshua, this is in Joshua chapter 14. He comes and says, listen, now I need, it's time for me to get my inheritance, because all the 12 tribes got their inheritance in the land. He says, I want my inheritance. He says, for my inheritance, I want that mountain. And you know what that mountain was? The Anakites used to live there. They were still there. The giants that he had seen 40 years ago were still there. Now, they had been pushed over to that area. Other areas were free of giants. This mountain had giants, and they were extremely tall, big giants. At 85, he says, give me this mountain. And he says, then he reminds Joshua, remember you and I, we went 40 years ago, we checked out the land and we said we can take it. I said, we can do this, we can take the giants. Now watch, he says, this is Joshua chapter 14. You can read from 6 to 12, but I'm going to just read verse 11. Okay. He says, so here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am still as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. So now, give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. So think about it. This guy at 85 was telling Joshua, remember 40 years ago? We spied the land and I said we could take it. He says, those giants are still there. Come on, come on, come on. Give me that mountain. I am just dying to go get them. I'm just dying to eat those giants as my bread. He was, listen, the whole thing in this is that how did Caleb stay strong? He says, I am as strong today as I was then and as willing to take the land as I was then. Same giants. I'm willing to take them because there's a secret in that. He says, he said it 40 years ago, and he says it again here. He says, I'll take them just as the Lord said. Because he believed the promise of God. And because of that, he said, listen, I can do it. I'm still strong. Now, about Caleb, God speaks about Caleb in Numbers 14 and says, Caleb has a different spirit. He's a man of a different spirit because he believed what I said. He's willing to take up the challenge. And so I present to you that Caleb was a giant eater. You know, we hear of giant slayers. David was a giant slayer. But we can be a giant eater. Now, what did this mean? Now, when I say giant eater, I want you to understand. I'm going to break this down for you. These giants stood opposed to the people from taking their inheritance, the land that God had given them. So the giant in our lives, in your life and my life, are the things that stand before you, that oppose you, that are larger than you can ever think, right? Much bigger than you. They pose that opposition. They pose a threat. They are there scaring you and saying, I will not let you come into your promise. Do you get it? That's the spiritual contrast. Anything that opposes you, anything that opposes your destiny, anything that stops you from taking the promise of God, which God has already spoken is yours, anything that stops you or hinders you or threatens you from coming into your spiritual inheritance is your spiritual giant. And if God has given it to you, you cannot be intimidated by those giants. You cannot be afraid of those things. It may not be an actual physical giant. It may be a situation. It may be a condition. It may be a challenge. It may be a problem. Whatever it is, all those problems, you know, the giants equals problems, all those problems, all those blockages, all those things that stop you from entering the promised land, you are supposed to eat it up. It's supposed to be your bread, which means you're supposed to thrive on it. Because you can overcome them. The word of God is over your life. Here in Numbers 14, he says, you know, God is our protection, but their protection is God. The moment the word of God has come to you about your inheritance, about a promise or whatever, that very moment you have got access to that promise. But we will have to fight the giants. Now, you know, if you're like me, you will ask, now how do I eat a giant? Can I say something? You eat a giant one bite at a time. Yikes. What is that? One bite at a time. What I mean is that, see, these giants in our lives nowadays are thoughts. They come as thoughts first. They tell you can't do this. Oh, look at that problem. Look, you don't have this. You can never make it. Or, you know, whatever it is, the situations and sometimes people, sometimes circumstances, they speak to us something. It sends a message to us. And the battlefield is the mind. And so the way we can overcome it is take one thought at a time captive to Christ. Take one thought at a time and bring it under the submission of the word of God. That's why I say you can eat a giant one bite at a time. It's like you can eat a thought, you know, you can eat that problem by eating one thought at a time. You take that thought that is contrary to the truth, that is contrary to what God has spoken over your life, that is contrary to the word, and you bring it under the subjection of the word of God. You say, nope, that's not what God has spoken over me. This is what God has spoken. So therefore, you know, arrest that thought, bind that thought, cast that thought out, chew it up, right? Eat it up for bread. So it's like, bring it on. Bring it on. I'll say, I can take the giants. I'm as strong today. And every time you do that, what you're doing is you're flexing your spiritual muscles. When you face an opposition, when you face a giant, if I can put in quotes, giant, a problem that is mocking you, that is staring you in the face and says, ha ha, you can't have this. I'm here. I'm occupying this now. I don't care. You know, you can't take this. Don't be intimidated. This thing is an opportunity for you to push against. This thing is an opportunity for you to win, to be victorious, because God has already given it to you. So every time you confront a problem and you deal with it, you take that thought one thought at a time, you know, you are eating the giant one bite at a time. Every time you do that, your muscles are being built. It's exactly like when you go to the gym and you're working out. It's each time, each push-up is building you. Each weight that you carry is building your muscle. Each time you eat the right food, each vitamin that you take is building you. It's making you stronger. So I just declare to you today that when you eat giants for dinner, eat your problems, eat it up. They are bread for us because God is with us. He has spoken over us. Therefore, be strong, because that's what God has called us to be, strong. Every time God says, be strong because I'm with you. Not because you're great, but because I'm with you. So when we believe God, we can be strong. And so let me recap to you. Actually, before I go, you remember John the Baptist? I wanted to say something about this. John the Baptist, the Bible says John the Baptist's food was what? Locusts and wild honey. Now think about it. Locusts are symbolic of the demonic in the scriptures, you know, that locusts come and were a sign of God's judgment. You know, they would come and they would eat up every blessing. They take away the blessing. They eat up everything. And what did John the Baptist do? He came eating locusts. In other words, you know, he was a radical guy. What he was saying was, give me the locusts, I'll eat them up. Every demonic spirit that's trying to come, I'll eat you up. was saying, everything that brings judgment and all of that, I'll eat you up. I've come with a new order. I'm going to come and declare the way of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so I just want to call you to be people of strength, people who can mind the menu. What's on your menu? The word of God, the bread of his presence is one. The other thing is on your menu daily, take it daily, is doing the will of God and finishing the work that he's called us to do. And number three is just go have yourself a great giant for dinner every night. You know, eat that thought up. You know, finish up the enemy. He cannot stand against you because God has called you to be victorious. Hallelujah. Skip those bad food. Skip the gossip. Skip the delicacies of the wicked. And just skip murmuring and grumbling and asking for things contrary to the will of God. God is with us. God will strengthen you. You know, stay rooted in the word. And eat of him. Literally, come to him and eat of him and feast with him. And then it says, if you stay and if you remain in him, then you'll bear much fruit. Hallelujah. How glorious is our God. So I just speak a victory over you as you sit, you know, within the range of my voice. I just speak a victory. I speak that you will not just be a giant slayer, but you'll be a giant eater. Hallelujah. That you'll be strong, that you'll be victorious, and that you'll bring great glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me close in prayer. So, Father, we just want to thank you today that you have a diet that you've prescribed for us. And so, Lord, I pray that as we go through life, that every day we will go through our spiritual menu and we will mind what we are eating, O God. We will push away the things that are bad for us, O God, for our spiritual health. That intentionally, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will say no to the wrong things. And Lord, that the fruit of self-control and the fruit of discipline, self-discipline, would work in us, that we will be able to, Lord, we'll be able to have an appetite for the right food, O God. So Lord, give us an appetite for your word. Give us an appetite for your presence. Give us an appetite, O God, to take to challenge enemies that confront us from keeping us, coming into our promises, O God. Give us, O God, an appetite, O God. A delight to do your will, O God. We bless you, Father. We thank you, Lord. Strengthen your people today, O God, I pray. In Jesus' name.